This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
والله يدعو إلى دار السلام ويهدي من يشاء إلى صراط مستقيم.
Love of the dunya. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, two hungry wolves in a herd of sheep are not as destructive and harmful as the love of the money and extravagance are for the religion of a person.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to another episode of Purification of the Soul. I'm your host, Abu Abdus Salam, and with us in the studio we have our guests from Alright Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
We have Gulraz. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu.
And Kareem. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu
alaikum. We were talking in the last episode about wealth. And in the last episode, we spoke about one side of wealth. In other words, the benefits of wealth. The benefits of wealth on a person's religious affairs, as well as the benefits of wealth on a person's worldly affairs. And most people know about the worldly affairs. But let's have a recap of the benefits of wealth on a person's religious affairs.
He can spend money in the care and sadaqah.
He can spend money on other people, such as zakah, sadaqah, charity, such as hospitality, having guests round.
He can eat to him, perform in hajj.
He can spend money on himself in good deeds, in doing good deeds, like performing hajj, going on jihad, or spending money on jihad, and so on and so forth, yes.
Spend money on, you know, his family, his close.
Spending on others, yeah.
He can spend on defending the reputation of Islam against the attacks of the anti-Islamists.
Yes, that's a notable cause. To show the true meaning of Islam, and the real meaning of Islam, yes, and the beauty of Islam. And what about in terms of building public or serving public interests?
Building masjids.
Building mosques, building masajid, yeah.
Lead to the printing of books.
Printing of books, building schools, for example, and these kind of things, yeah. But also there are harms of wealth, and this is very important. Harms of wealth can occur on a person's religious affairs as well as his worldly affairs, just like the benefits of wealth. Now, as for the harms on one's religious affairs, then the first thing is that it often leads a person to commit acts of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is because with wealth, he has the access to and the ability of doing many more sins than if he did not have that wealth. Let's have some examples of that. A person, if he didn't have the wealth, he wouldn't be able to do a particular type of sin. But if he had the wealth, he now has the access to and the ability of doing a particular sin.
One that's most common, I think, among the youth is that if a person has wealth, then it may lead to him buying drugs.
Buying drugs, alcohol, these kind of things. Sometimes it doesn't come cheap. Someone told me.
For example, if he has the wealth, then he can spend it on by going to a brothel or casino or gambling, etc.
Yes, yes. Because obviously these things cost money. So if he has a wealth, then he has the ability of doing these things.
I think also wealth makes him forget about his weaknesses before Allah. He might believe that it's because of my strength, like Fir'aun, who thought that
so at least
it's
the pride because of and arrogance.
Ilmin utitu min indi.
Yes, yes. Okay. So that's another good example where wealth has led to a sin. In that case, it's a disease of the heart, a disease called pride or arrogance. So the wealth has led to a clear-cut disease or a clear-cut sin or disobedience against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the first type of harm that wealth can have on a person. That often, obviously not always, but in many instances, if a person is not careful, then once he has access to wealth, then he also has access to be able to do a lot of sins that he would need wealth to do. Otherwise he wouldn't have been able to do that. Going to nightclubs, for example. Drugs, brothels, these kind of things cost money. And likewise, the wealth itself may lead to a person having self-conceit, pride, arrogance, and all these kind of things. The second harm of wealth, or second type of harm on a person's religious affairs, is that it can drive a person to seek enjoyment through lawful pleasures, through mubahat, lawful pleasures, but he becomes addicted to these lawful things. And then he gets under their control. And then this comes to a stage that he can't live without these lawful pleasures. So then his heart has become attached to the dunya, to the wealth, to this world. He has extreme love of this world. And this has led him to do certain, it leads him to be addicted to certain lawful things. Let's have some examples of that.
I mean, for instance, buying material things in the world, such as cars or mobile phones or this and that. Usually the person, he may buy one or two just to allow himself at the beginning. And then after he accumulates more wealth, it may lead him to purchasing more and more and more and more. And he becomes addicted to them.
He becomes addicted to it. What else?
For example, games and sports, etc.
Computer games.
Yeah.
Very common habit.
So it may be permissible in itself, but once he gets addicted to it and he spends so much time and money on playing that game, that, you know, he misses Salah or leaves out his obligations.
I think one of the implications or consequences of having a lot of money, the pleasure of buying or having what others do not have in order to feel that I'm elevated or I'm superior to others.
Mm. But how does wealth lead to somebody doing a lot of lawful things? He's seeking the pleasures of this world in a lawful manner. And these pleasures may well be lawful things. But the point here, which is different from the first point, is how wealth leads a person to do disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But here, the second point, second harm of wealth, is that he's addicted to lawful things. Addicted. Now this addiction is something that he can't control. He becomes subdued. He becomes a slave of his habit, if you like. So a person, as you mentioned very rightly, Gulraz, about the computer games. And even sports. Sports are something good in general. When a person gets fit and so on and so forth, healthy, that's something good. But when a person is addicted to it, like football, and he goes mad about football, and worse than that is when he's mad about football that other people are playing, like the World Cup and all these things. The person himself may not be playing, but he goes mad supporting teams and all these kind of things, such that he's addicted to this. He has to watch every single match. He has the wealth, so therefore he has to go to every single game.
And he starts to forget about his obligations before.
And he starts, but this leads us to the third point, which is that wealth can distract a person from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the most dangerous disadvantage of wealth that no human being is safe from. It's a deep-seated, deep-rooted evil. And this is because that the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the essence of all worship. And why have we been created?
To worship Allah.
Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that I did not create the jinn and the mankind except to worship me alone. So here, in this particular case, wealth distracts a person from remembrance of Allah. We can revisit the examples you gave for the second point, which is where they get addicted to this deed. But it doesn't actually lead them to something haram. Okay? But here, they get addicted to this, or just the wealth itself. The presence of wealth, the presence of riches, and the flamboyancy of his environment, for example, it leads him to forgetting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A direct example could be, he has a lot of money, he buys a lot of computer games, for example. Spends the whole day playing computer games, misses his prayers. This is a direct example. An indirect example could be when a person, he has a lot of wealth around him. He has a lot of, you know, he's immersed in extravagance. And he begins to forget about the ayat of Allah, the signs of Allah. Because he has everything. He begins to think of himself as great.
He doesn't feel the need. He doesn't need to say, Ya Rabbi, Ya Allah.
Yes, so the person himself, exactly, he doesn't feel the need to call upon Allah, O my Lord. And that's a very important point. So he forgets the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is very, very important. It's a very important point. Now, one should note that there is a discussion among the scholars. Which is better, or which type of person is better? Is it the poor person who is patient? Because obviously poor people are of two categories. Those who are patient and those who are not patient. Okay, they're not patient upon their poverty. They're complaining, they're screaming, they, you know, maybe they do haram things to obtain wealth. But then there are a category who are patient. The poor people who are patient. Is he better or is the rich, grateful person better? The grateful rich person. The one who shows thankfulness in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, again, rich people are of two types. Rich people, one group of rich people, they're ungrateful. As you said, they have no need. They feel, they think that they're independent to such an extreme that they don't have a need. They think they don't have a need to call upon Allah, to make dua to Allah. These people are ungrateful rich people. But there's also a category of rich people who are grateful. They thank Allah. They perhaps do extra acts of worship to thank Allah for the riches that Allah has bestowed over them. So these two righteous people, the poor person who is patient and the rich person who is grateful, the scholars have discussed about them in the books of knowledge, where they have discussed, or they've argued, if you like, who is better out of the two. Is it the rich person who's grateful, or is it the poor person who is patient? But we'll talk about that, inshallah, after the break.
Ask God is a program which aims to answer your questions about your deen, your faith, your way of life. This, of course, is Islam.
This is a totally different price, but I divided the payment over this period of time. And the seller is the person or the firm which owns the item which you're buying in this condition. This form of business transaction is love.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back. Before the break, we were talking about the discussion of the scholars, where they discuss about who is better. Is it the rich person who is grateful, or is it the poor person who is patient? What do you think? What do you think?
I would have to say that it's the rich person who is grateful, because I've seen with my own eyes that a person who is poor, his reliance on Allah is emphasized, and he can't do much except to rely upon Allah. Whereas a rich person, he may deem himself to be self-sufficient, therefore he may forget about the remembrance of Allah. So if you find a rich person who is grateful, I think that
he's better than the poor person who's patient. What about you, Kareem?
Against this point, because I believe that both suffer if you're a rich man and you have a lot of things you can do with your money and you don't do it because it's haram. This needs a lot of self-restriction and self-control. And also, if you're hungry and poor and you don't have money to feed yourself and to satisfy your basic needs, it's very difficult also. But I think the poor one is better because he suffers. He obeys Allah, though he's suffering more. He doesn't have his basic needs. But the rich one has his even his luxury, he just controls himself against what he can do, but it's forbidden. But the poor one's suffering one way or another, so I think he's better for Allah.
What do you think, Gurus?
I think obviously there's good in both of them, because the person who's poor and is patient, and that's he doesn't go and start stealing and being, say, why does Allah punish me with this? So it's good in him. But I think maybe, as Brother Muhammad said, that the rich person, I mean the poor person, he really doesn't have much option except to be patient, really.
He has the option of doing haram, as he said.
He can't steal. The person that is richer, I think, has more means of doing the haram. Because of the wealth that he has more approaches to the haram.
I think the poor man can kill the rich man and steal his money and have the same means.
True?
Yeah. But I think as
how do you argue against that?
He could do, but he wouldn't be patient. So.
That's true. He wouldn't be patient. So we're talking about the patient one against the rich, grateful one.
I think the rich person has, as the both the brothers mentioned, that he has more temptations. So he has more opportunities to fall into evil. So if he is if he restricts himself from that and is grateful, then I believe maybe he has superiority over the poor person who is patient.
What would you argue against Karim's point there?
Don't kill.
Don't kill. What do you think about the points that they're making? That the rich person actually does have, he has more option of doing evil. So when he restrains himself, it's much harder for him to restrain himself.
That's why I can't argue against him. I think that both of them are better than all of us.
Yeah. And what would you say? Don't say the same thing. What would you say about his point where the poor person is suffering more? The person who is who is persevering and he's patient, he's suffering more than the rich person who has riches in this world.
Well, in reality, the poor person, the most he can do is to suffer. He has no other.
But this is not easy.
It's not easy, of course.
So wouldn't that, according to what Karim's saying, that would make him better than the rich person who's not suffering? And according to what Muhammad is saying, he's saying, well, Angulraz, is that the rich person has the option, or much more option, of doing haram. And that self-restraint is the thing that makes him.
Okay, I believe that if the rich has more option, the poor has a stronger motive to commit what's forbidden. Because he's poor, he's satisfying his need. For example, a rich man cannot steal because he has a lot of money. He doesn't have a reason to steal. But a poor one can say, I'm not stealing for luxury. I'm just stealing to satisfy my needs. I have the right to steal.
So he has more of an excuse, if you like, to
exactly.
steal. So shaitan can come to him easier.
Exactly.
Much more easily than
so he needs more self-restraint.
Mm. I think maybe also, if the roles were reversed, maybe the rich person will come out better. Like, if the poor person suddenly had a lot of wealth, then maybe because he's been deprived so much, he might start, not be as grateful.
Whereas the poor. But in the same way, the rich person who suddenly becomes poor because
but because he is thankful, because he's thankful, and he knows how to control his wealth.
When he had wealth, he'll be thankful to Allah.
Well, let's have a look at what some of the people on the streets had to say about this very question, and then after that, we'll actually give what the summary of this discussion is, inshallah.
I don't think it's wealth that's harmful, but I think it's what you do with the wealth that's harmful. I guess making money is natural. You know, everyone wants to have money, everyone wants to have wealth, but just to think that only the wealth or the money or the things that money can buy are what makes life or what makes a person is wrong, because there is more to life than just the material part, you know, and even the reason why people acquire wealth is that they can feel good.
When you spend money seeking God and seeking heaven and seeking Jannah, God will always support you with his power, because you are seeking something good. And when you seek something good, God will support you, because you need khair, you need something that will benefit the society and benefit you. That's why it will end up giving you everything that you need and you want. It will not evil, it will never be destruction.
When you spend on lawful things, you know, it will not lead to destruction or anything.
Wealth can distract us from Allah, because all my focus was wealth and buying cars, houses, and it can distract us. The wealth can distract us from worshipping of Allah.
It depends, but usually each one gets his reward. A rich person is better, maybe on earth life, and a poor person is better afterwards, afterlife. He gets his reward.
So similar points mentioned there. The stronger opinion of this point about who is better, is it the rich person who is grateful, or is it the poor person who is patient? The stronger of the two scholarly opinions, it seems to be that each is praised or blamed according to how patient or how grateful he is. In other words, just being rich and grateful, or just being poor and patient, is not a quality that makes you better than the other of the two. Okay? Neither of the two types of person is better than the other. Okay? This is a stronger view. In other words, just by his wealth which led to gratitude, just by his poverty, which led to patience. In fact, what tips the balance is not the wealth, because in most of the points that you were mentioning, it was to do with the wealth. And of course, this is not in the hands of the slaves of Allah. This is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has decreed that this person is rich. He's decreed that this person is poor. So this is not what tips the balance. It is actually the actual patience and the actual gratitude shown. So we can't say that the rich person who is more great, who is grateful, is better by, yani by itself, by himself, by this quality of being rich and also patient, grateful. It doesn't make him better than the poor person who is patient, because Allah made him poor and Allah made him rich. This is not in his control whatsoever. So what is it that makes one better than the other? It is individual. It's different from person to person. And it is according to how much gratitude and how much patience a person says. But otherwise, all the other points, or most of the other points that you mentioned, were all valid here. That yes, with regards to the poor person, sometimes he has no choice but to be patient. From one angle, if he has some kind of deen in him, some kind of religiousness in him. But on the other hand, he, as Kareem mentioned, well, he could go and steal. He doesn't have to be patient. He can go and steal and so on and so forth. In the same way, the rich person, he doesn't have to be grateful. He can go out, he can be, he doesn't even have to be patient, in fact. He can go out and not patiently persevere on the deen. He can go out and spend money on haram. But he's grateful, which also leads to his patience. His grateful, his gratitude leads to his patience as well. So each person has got his good qualities, and also each person has limitations or restraints. So the poor person, the restraint on him is that he simply can't go out and do certain sins that a rich person can do. However, an important point to note, that if a person is poor but yearns to be rich, to spend the money in haram, it will be as if he has got the money and he will be sinning in that way. Is that clear? So a person who is poor and yearns the money to do something haram, then he is also blameworthy, even though he doesn't have that money. Likewise, if a person is he's rich and he feels to himself that, hey, I'm so rich, I'm never going to get poor. Okay, and starts relying on himself or something of this nature. Or becomes arrogant or something like this. Or if he suddenly loses his wealth and his heart is attached to the wealth, then he's also sinful for that, for his heart being attached to the wealth. And this is the crux of the discussion. The discussion goes back to patience and gratitude. It goes back to patience and gratitude, not affluency and poverty, about person's richness or how poor he is. It's all about the patience or gratitude. So, the rich person who is grateful is better than the poor person who's patient if his gratitude is greater than the other's patience. And the other way around, the poor person who is patient, he's better than the rich person who is who's grateful if his patience is greater than the other one's gratitude.
So it's specific to the individual?
Yes, it's specific from individual to individual. In other words, the quality of affluence or poverty is not enough by itself to make a person greater in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So basically, if we have the wealth, then we should be grateful. And if we are deprived of the wealth, we are poor, then we should be patient.
Yes, and this is a summary of the whole discussion. That no matter which situation a person's in, if he's in the situation of being affluent, rich, then he has to be grateful, as well as patient. And likewise, if he's in a situation where he is poor, then he has to be patient, as well as grateful. And inshallah, with this we end this discussion. And inshallah, in the next episode, we'll look at some of the cures of or some of the remedies by which to cure the disease of loving this world. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.